Hello and welcome to the College Football Experience Podcast. My name is David Capel. I'm joined by Kent Brown. This is the Rivalry Week preview. I always have to say that 10 times before the start to make sure that sounds good. But before we jump into some of the big games this week, and there are a few, let's talk a little bit about what we learned last week. And we'll start with you, Kent, and Ohio State.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud, he's the Heisman favorite now. Now, that doesn't mean that Bryce Young can't be in the mix, and that doesn't mean that Stroud can't potentially struggle this week against a good Michigan defense, but the game he put up last week, that was a top 10 matchup. The Michigan State-Michigan game was the most viewed game of the year, so people came in knowing that that's going to be a big game for him with the Michigan State game, and he was flawless. I think he had double the amount of touchdown passes as incompletions. They scored seven straight touchdowns to open the game, led 49-0. So as we head towards this stretch run, rivalry week this week, championship week next week, Stroud becomes the favorite. Now, that doesn't mean that Bryce Young can't stay in the mix, but for now, we have two Southern California quarterbacks, Stroud from Rancho Cucamonga, and of course, Bryce Young from Pasadena, played his ball down in Orange County at Mater Dei, but he's the overwhelming favorite at this moment to win the Heisman.
Yeah, Matt Corral's kind of fallen off a little bit. We'll talk about Ole Miss in a second. Good win yesterday in their rivalry game, but he's now 16-1. So minus 200 Stroud, plus 150 Bryce Young. Bryce Young still, you know, can do what he needs to do with a big game in the Iron Bowl and then the SEC Championship game. So we'll see. Okay, let's go next to the Big 12, where Oklahoma State is winning it with its defense. We've been talking about that all year. Its offense is complimentary, if you will. But Kent, there's a way for Oklahoma State to make this playoff right now. They look like they could be the thorn in Cincinnati's heel.
Yeah, right now, if you're Oklahoma State, I think you win out and you're in, because Notre Dame only has one more game left and it's against Stanford. So Oklahoma State would have a chance to close with a win over OU and then a win over most likely Baylor, assuming they beat Texas Tech. That's right. Two more top 10 wins you're adding, or even if OU falls out of the top 10, certainly a top 20 win that you would have. And then for Cincinnati, they have Houston in 2 weeks. They have East Carolina later today, as we're recording this Friday morning. Those are nice wins, but Cincinnati right now just really needs Georgia to beat Alabama. If that happens, we could very well end up seeing a Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati top four. But you're right, Oklahoma State last week shut out Texas Tech defensively. They're top five in the nation in terms of defense. And when you think of Bedlam, you think of over-unders that we've joked about in the last 10 years of being in the 70s or 80s or high 60s, that's only 49.5 this week. Yeah. So it shows you that both teams right now offensively are not at their highest point. But for Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy continues to do it, continues to win. And when you look back at careers like 20 years from now, he's going to be one of the most underrated coaches, because the guy just seemingly finds ways to win 9 or 10 games every year. And it would be nice for Oklahoma State, if you look at that 2011 season, they lost that Iowa State game on a Friday, ended up not going to the national championship, and that's when Bama beat LSU in the rematch. This year, maybe Oklahoma State closes out, gets to a playoff, and that's kind of the one time that Gundy has his team at that highest mark in the postseason.
Do you think LSU, Florida, USC, Washington would all take Gundy right now?
Probably. I mean, maybe not Washington. I don't know about the fit at Washington. I feel like that might be the one that they would look elsewhere. Not based on the fact that they don't think he's a good coach. I just don't know if that's necessarily the best situation for him. But yeah, he's certainly a better coach than what they've had and what they most likely will hire. But yeah, and look, a lot of those schools have gone after Gundy in the past. So he's had nice pay raises because of those SEC schools and certain schools in the Big Ten and the Big 12 that open up. But yeah, I would think so. I think Mike Gundy's done a great job. And, and their only loss this year is a 3-point loss to Iowa State. That was a controversial kind of late game you know, where they measured a fourth down and it was close. So it's not like they have a bad loss on their schedule this year either. Oklahoma's a tougher one. If Oklahoma wins out, the committee's already shown they don't love Oklahoma.
I think Cincinnati would be a nice way to close.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati would stay ahead of them most likely. But Oklahoma State, I just don't buy that. I think that Oklahoma State wins and they're definitely in.
Well, let's stay with coaches that seem to win 10 games year in and year out and move to Notre Dame, who's doing something that Notre Dame has never done before, and that's win 10 games five straight years after, which is most surprising, especially coming after that 4-8 season 6 years ago. Brian Kelly, man, another guy that has really, really been impressive this year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's one of those, I mean, weekly on this podcast, you know, the struggles Notre Dame had early in the season. The offensive line was terrible. It looked like they were heading towards, you know, an 8 or 9 win season, but they just find ways to win. The last 5 weeks, they've actually been a pretty good team. The offensive line has come together, even with a lot of players that weren't projected to see the field this year. Offensively, they're down to some freshman receivers as their third, fourth, and fifth receivers at the moment left on scholarship. But yeah, they find ways to win. They're playing a horrible Stanford team on Saturday. It's seemingly maybe the worst Stanford team of the David Shaw era. And yeah, Brian Kelly, just if he can get this 11th win, to me, it's the best coaching job he's done. I understand he's gone undefeated 3 times in the regular season, including a national championship berth against Bama in 2012. But this unit, this team, and all the struggles they went through, trying to rotate quarterbacks, trying to figure out offensive linemen, it would be a huge deal if they go 11-1. And they're still alive for the playoff. I still think it's going to take quite a bit for them to get there. But they're hanging around, and there's no fault in going 11-1 and finishing 5th or 6th in the season.
No, I mean, this team wasn't going to win the national championship. Like you said, you thought they were closer to 4 losses than they were to the national championship. So it's almost kind of nice. This is like a kind of silver lining season. You lose to, you know, a group of 5 team that hopefully you give them the push to get into the playoff. You end up getting to finish this, the, you know, if you guys win this weekend and then win your bowl game, you know, you finish, what, 3 in the country? 4? Like, that's a great place to end for a team you knew was not going to be able to win the national championship, as opposed to going to the playoff as the 4 seed, getting your teeth kicked in by Georgia and finishing the season 6, right? So it's almost a best-case scenario for a team that you know wasn't going to win the national championship.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I feel like when you look at it, if they end up going 12-1, most likely a Fiesta Bowl, but maybe a Peach Bowl, depending on if Cincinnati goes to the playoff. If Cincinnati's in the playoff and Notre Dame wins Saturday, they'll be in the Fiesta Bowl. If Cincinnati misses the playoff, then Notre Dame goes to the Peach Bowl and they're up against whoever wins the ACC in that game. So either one, it should be a game that's a bit more competitive. The Fiesta Bowl would most likely be whoever doesn't go to the Rose Bowl out of Michigan or Michigan State. So for Notre Dame's sake, that would be a fun game.
Oh yeah, Michigan Notre Dame would be a barn burner. That would be about everything the Fiesta Bowl could ask for.
Yeah, and even Michigan State, because that's a historic rival of, sure, Notre Dame. They've played Michigan State way more than they've played Michigan in their career. And then even if it's not one of those teams, then it's maybe the Big 12, like a Baylor or an Ole Miss or Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. So either way, it'll be a challenge, and it should be a pretty fun game.
Yeah, that's exciting to see what you guys have done. Like I said, at 5 years of 10 straight wins, of 10 win seasons is pretty impressive. We're going to skip the college football playoff poll. We're going to get more information after this big rivalry week. So let's jump into these rivalry games and start off with the game, the big one. Noon Eastern on Saturday on Fox. I'll be saying the days of the week because we have this long holiday weekend. Ohio State 8.5-point favorites here, and they are the better team, sure, all of that. But Michigan, if you ever have had a chance, now is the time to do it, to get this monkey off your back, to finally beat your rival, to secure a spot in the playoff. This is it for them. Otherwise, it's just another Michigan season. And all that being said, I love Ohio State in this game.
I do as well. I think that Ohio State, at the end of the day, still matches up well. Michigan's defense is good, but they're great up front, and they're going to have to get so much pressure on CJ Stroud. If they can't, they can't win this game. Offensively, they're okay, but Michigan's offense is not explosive the way that, you know, last year's Alabama was who beat Ohio State, or Clemson when they beat Ohio State 2 years ago in the playoff. Michigan's going to have to force turnovers. They're going to probably have to get a little bit lucky, and they're going to have to probably get at least 3 or 4 sacks to have a chance to win this game. But you mentioned it. Everything's going for them. They're 10-1. If they win this game, they're going to be favored in the Big Ten championship game next weekend, and they would be the odds-on favorite out of the Big Ten to make the college football playoff. And for Jim Harbaugh, he's 0-5 against Ohio State as a coach. This is a game you'd love to win, not only for himself, but for his program, his fan base, the alumni, everybody. But at the end of the day, remember last year, Michigan kind of last minute canceled this game due to COVID. Ohio State thought they could have played. Michigan said they couldn't. And therefore, Ryan Day kind of, you know, behind closed doors, a lot of people said, you know, he told his team, if we can hang 100 on these guys next year, we're going to do it. And I think Ryan Day is still in that same mentality. Ohio State shows up. They always seem to play their best in this rivalry, which is why it's so tough to beat them on Thanksgiving weekend if you're Michigan. So I'll go for Ohio State to win this game, probably by about 17 to 20 points. I'll say somewhere like 42 to 21 or 42 to 24. In that range, a comfortable cover, and it puts number 2 Ohio State in great position to punch their ticket into the playoff next week.
Yeah, you know, this rivalry is interesting. We'll be talking rivalries the whole day, but it, I was trying to think as you were talking about what other, like, end of the season rivalry has had as much on the line as this one has the last 5, 7, 8 years. And I was going to say the Iron Bowl for sure. But what's interesting about the Iron Bowl is Auburn occasionally wins and does something about it. It goes to national championships or goes to SEC championships, where it just feels like Michigan always comes up on the other end of this, on the losing end of the stick for this one. And so really this one always has a ton of meaning to it. And yet it's just always Ohio State wins and we move on. Ohio State goes to the Big Ten championship. So it'll be interesting to see if Michigan can reverse that narrative, but I doubt it. And actually, you know, another rivalry would be Bedlam, where, you know, this game has meant something a couple of times this last few years, especially with the creation of the Big 12 championship game. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State, number 10 versus number 7. Oh, and by the way, Ohio State, Michigan, top 5 matchup. Number 2, Ohio State. Number 5, Michigan. Both 10-1. Another pair of 10-1 teams. Number 10, Oklahoma at number 7, Oklahoma State. 7:30 Eastern, Saturday on ABC. Oklahoma State, 4-point favorites here. And as you mentioned at the start of the program, 49.5 over under for a game that's normally about 79.5.
A huge game for both programs, clearly, but more so for Oklahoma State. They're almost never favored in this game. They almost never win this game. You know, Mike Gundy's been the head coach there a long time. He's only been able to win this game twice. So it just always goes Oklahoma's way. It's close a lot, but Oklahoma just find ways to just, you know, whether it's a stop on a 2-point conversion, it's a game sealing 3rd and 11 that salts the game away, it's a big interception late, everything that they need, they always find a way to do. And all the pressure in this game is on Oklahoma State. I feel like Oklahoma can come into this game, they can play a bit more loose. And also, if they win this game, it's a rematch next week. So Oklahoma State's already officially in the Big 12 title game. If they win and Baylor wins, then it's OSU and Baylor next week. But if Oklahoma wins this week, we have a rematch Bedlam next week at Jerry World, where then all the pressure becomes on, I would say, Oklahoma to then be the team that always wins the Big 12 title. So it should be a lot of fun. I'll lean towards Oklahoma State in this game. I just think that Oklahoma really has not been all that impressive this year. Like, to me, they don't look like a top 10 team at all. They've had maybe quarters or halves where they've looked the part, but as a whole, I don't think they've had one complete game, maybe outside of their Texas Tech win about 3 or 4 weeks ago, that they've actually looked like an elite team. So I'm going to go with the team that has looked more elite, and that's Oklahoma State, and that they win Bedlam, and that most likely they get Baylor next week in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, that's what's best for the Big 12 as well. A rematch is something that would suck. I know it's happened a time or two for them already. It's not what you need. You want it to be, you know, what would probably be the number 6 team in the country with Oklahoma State, and then a top 10 Baylor team, and give them that last little playoff push. By the way, quick side note with Texas Tech. They fire their coach. They decide to name the new guy. You know, you're kind of like, they were having a decent season. They were what, 4-2 when they fired the coach, or 5-2, whatever they were. They've now lost three of their last four games. They got blanked by Oklahoma State. They got blown out by Oklahoma. They lost close to Kansas State. It's kind of weird how their season shifted after firing. Normally, you kind of either have that, like, this is the direction we want to go, this is going to get better. But it's interesting that Matt Wells firing was maybe a little bit premature for a season that ended up taking a big dive. And now they got to close their season against Baylor this weekend. So weird goings on down there in Lubbock. But let's keep moving on. Next we have the Iron Bowl, number three Alabama at Auburn, 6-5 team, 3:30 Eastern on CBS. Kent, number three team in the country, Alabama. They've won every national championship for the last 30 years. And yet I could see Auburn winning this game on the field.
It would be hard to believe, especially with Bo Nix out. Not that Bo Nix is great, but sometimes a good Bo Nix does show up.
Okay, let me preface it. Not because of talent versus talent, because Auburn is not afraid to come in and win these games. I know this is Brian Harsin's first year. Maybe he's not up for the bigness of this game. But these Auburn players come in saying, we can beat Bama. We're one of the only teams that ever does beat Bama. And that's why I see them being able to come in and pull an upset here.
Well, and if you look at Bama this year, they've had close games against teams
Sure.
that are kind of below them. And also, the last two times that Auburn has played in Jordan-Hare against Alabama, they won both games. Alabama has not won in Jordan-Hare since 2015. So, Auburn, as you said, there's players on this Auburn team, especially fifth-year seniors, that are 2-2 against Alabama and probably expect to win this game. I just think matchup-wise, it's not that great. This is an Auburn team that when they beat Bama, they normally have like high-end skill guys or a really good defensive line. This year's team looks to be about the 6-5 mark. Also, Auburn about 3 weeks ago was rolling high. They were like in the top 15, looked like they might be heading towards second place in the division, 9 or 10 wins. They've now fell back. They blew that 28-3 lead against Mississippi State, and since then they've struggled. So I'll say Bama wins this and wins this pretty easily. But the other thing too is I wouldn't want to bet this because much like the Georgia game that we'll cover next, if Alabama's up 33-10 late, are they really caring that much if Auburn scores, knowing the fact that you do have Georgia next week and that's what matters? So I would avoid this line, maybe take the first half line, if anything, but I do expect the tide to roll pretty easily in this game.
All right, let's move on to that good old-fashioned hate. And this is number one Georgia versus Georgia Tech. If Ohio State Michigan always matters, this game never matters. This one and Clemson South Carolina haven't mattered for a long time. Georgia Tech 3-8. Georgia number one team in the country, 11-0. Noon Eastern on ABC. Georgia is a 5-touchdown plus favorite here, and not a ton to say except for, this is a warm-up game for the Scrubs for Georgia for the SEC championship game.
Georgia Tech's team total is going to be about 10. That might be the most exciting bet you can make, is will Georgia Tech find their way to score 10 points? Last week they got blanked by Notre Dame. It was 55-0, and it was 48-0 at the half. I don't like, or sorry, it's 45-0 at the half. I don't like Georgia Tech's team right now. They do have a really good running back. I think they have a couple good linebackers, but overall they have no skill players. Quarterback situation's rough. And for the Georgia Bulldogs, much like what I said about Bama, they're looking to get ready for the SEC title game next week. So if it is 35-3 late, who really cares if Georgia Tech adds a touchdown later in the game? So it should be an easy Georgia Bulldogs win. And like you said, there's not usually a ton on the line for both teams in this game. Every so often under Paul Johnson, we had a pretty good Tech team that would come up and scare Georgia, if not win the game. But that's not where Georgia Tech is right now.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. The last Georgia Tech win was when, actually, 2016. 2016, 2014, they pulled out a couple. Georgia Tech was ranked in 2014 for it, but otherwise, the last 3 years, 38-7, 45-21, 52-7. I think we're trending more towards that 52-7 for Georgia. All right, moving on. Oregon State, Oregon. The Civil War, I think they've changed the name of it in our PC times. But that being said, Oregon State, unranked, heading to number 11, Oregon. I don't hate Oregon State. Oregon, as we've seen this year, plays to its opponents, whether good or bad. Ended up having that really ugly loss to Utah last week to fall out of the playoff contention. But sure, they're 7-point favorites here. This one really feels like a coin flip to me.
I would take the points as well. I like this. I feel like that Oregon State's been playing pretty well. And for Oregon, they've been kind of struggling the last month or two to really close games out. So, yeah, I would take the points here. Also, Oregon State has a chance to win the Pac-12 North. If they win this game and Washington State doesn't win the Apple Cup, then Oregon State goes to the Pac-12 championship game. On the other hand, if Oregon wins this game, or Oregon State wins this game, and then Washington State wins the Apple Cup, then Washington State goes to the Pac-12 title game at 7-5. But I like what Jonathan Smith has done this year. I think this Oregon State team has looked pretty good. And if they can get to 8-4 and beat Oregon, that would be huge for them.
Yeah, this is the Pac-12 is in such disarray that the North is either going to be Oregon State, or Washington State. Oh, man, what are we doing up there? Next, let's go to Florida State, Florida. And this is, can you make a bowl game? That's what we're calling it, with Florida State 5-6, Florida 5-6. Dan Mullen has been fired. Noon Eastern on ESPN. Florida 2.5-point favorites here. Sure.
The battle for bowl eligibility, the Seminoles have come in seemingly with more motivation. You have to think this Florida team's about ready to wrap up its season. And for a new coach, we don't know who that is yet. We'll probably know within the next week whether it's Billy Napier or whether it's somebody else. This Florida team has just been a huge disappointment. Florida State, of course, they lost to Jacksonville State. That was a black mark on their season. But since then, they've been competitive in just about every game. They've won their last couple games, and they would love nothing more than to beat both their rivals. They beat the Hurricanes 2 weeks ago. They're trying to beat the Gators. If they win both games in the same season and go to a bowl, that's a huge step in the right direction for Mike Norvell and for the Florida Gators without Dan Mullen. This looks to be kind of, I would just take the points here and go Florida State just because I don't think Florida has much left to play for.
Yeah, man, this is such a fun game normally, and usually these are kind of the classes of their conferences, and it's a great late season matchup. Unlike the, Georgia Tech hasn't been great recently. Clemson, South Carolina hasn't been great. This is normally the ACC-SEC matchup you want at the end of the year, and this year we're going to have it on our third screens probably. Another game that would have been on here is the Ole Miss. Mississippi State game, the Egg Bowl, that was played last night. We did not record on Wednesday due to some technical difficulties. So that was a great game, though. 10-win season for Ole Miss. We'll give them their credit. That was our fun as hell team, and we give them their best regular season in team history. So good on us. We got one other notable game, and it's notable because it's starting in about 30 minutes here on the West Coast this Friday morning. Boise State at number 21, San Diego State, Friday morning, 9 a.m. at Dignity Health Center. Boise State -3. Ken, I was just looking. I was like, man, it'd kind of be fun to just run over there right now. Tickets are about $40, which is a little bit out of my price range for a novelty game. If they were $15, I'd think about it.
Yeah, I was joking earlier that like I kind of just want to show up for like the fourth quarter and just watch that. There's also the guy that's been referred to on Twitter as Punt God, the San Diego State punter.
Yeah.
That's putting up like 65-yard bombs every game. So and it's a huge game. With Fresno State winning yesterday, Fresno State beat San Jose State. It was one of the two games on Thanksgiving. That means San Diego State has to win today to go to the Mountain West Championship game. If San Diego State loses, Fresno State will go and represent the Pacific Division, or the West Division, I should say. And for Boise State, they're currently in a three-way tie with Nevada and also with Air Force in their division. So, with Utah State and Air Force. So, Boise State has a lot to play for on their side, where they're still alive and they're the favorite. So, if you look at this, San Diego State 10-1. Ranked, Boise State 7-4 for them a down year, and Boise State could still end up in their championship game potentially, and they're the favorite in this game, and I think for a reason. I think San Diego State right now has kind of been hanging on for dear life. Their offense is not very effective, so low over under 44, but I feel like for San Diego State to win this game, it's probably going to have to be in the low 20s. But it's a fun game, and it's 9 a.m. local at a soccer stadium that the San Diego State Aztecs. Imagine you're a San Diego State alum, or you're like one of the seniors that wants to come up for this game. You have to travel like an hour and a half north just to go to this game at 9 a.m.
on a Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's a little bit tough. Let's talk about our fun as hell team. We alluded to it quickly. Number 9 Ole Miss won last night, 31-21 at Mississippi State for the Egg Bowl. 10-win season for Ole Miss. I mean, Lane Kiffin, everyone's joking. Is he the guy headed to Florida? I don't think it makes much sense for him. He's doing great things at Ole Miss right now. Obviously, a higher ceiling in Florida, but I think why move around in conference when you got a good thing going there? And then Mississippi State really was that kind of under the radar team that they won 7 games. They had some nice upsets, like you said, beating Auburn on that big comeback, a couple other big wins. And you don't hear about Mike Leach as much as we talk about Lane Kiffin, but it's building something down there at Mississippi State. They need to stop losing those early season out of conference games, though.
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like he's found his quarterback, which was key. A lot of people questioned, can they get this offense to work in the SEC? Well, they had the leading receiver in the SEC in Polk. Will Rogers was, 20 touchdowns and like 3 interceptions in his last 5 games heading into last night. He did struggle last night and Ole Miss earned the win. But as you said earlier, it's nice that we picked our fun as hell team as an unranked team to start the season. And what did Ole Miss do? They won 10 games for the first time in program history in the regular season. You know, I've also heard with Lane Kiffin, and we'll have to see what happens with this, but if Miami offers him the job, it looks very likely he would take that job. So wow. I think Miami looks for Cristobal first. If Cristobal says yes, then that's who comes. Granted, technically, Manny Diaz has not been fired.
I was going to say, they got to fire their coach first.
And they need to hire an AD. So right now, the AD has not been hired yet. There's a lot of rumors that Tom Jurich, who used to be the Louisville AD, he was the one that hired Rick Pitino and Bobby Petrino and guys like that. He built up a lot of their other Olympic sports teams. If Tom Jurich is probably going to be named the AD in a few days, I think first and foremost, they try to get Cristobal. They see if he can kind of come and revamp that program. He is a Miami guy. If he says no, I think the second call would be Lane. And by all accounts, it seems like Lane would be very interested in going to the ACC and coaching Miami. So maybe in a week from now, when we do our next pod, it could be head coach of Miami, Lane Kiffin. We'll find out.
We will see. We will see. Okay, let's go to teams we're riding this season. Kent, big game for my Army Black Knights. They have Liberty, who at the beginning of the season would have probably been about a 10-point favorite. They're only 3.5-point favorites now. I like Army in this game. Liberty, they did just extend Hugh Freeze for a 5-7-year contract or whatever they just gave him. But I do like Army in this game to get to 8, and then that Navy game would be for all the marbles for that over on the season. Liberty would be the push. For you, you have a fun game with your tailing Wake Forest Demon Deacons at BC, and you guys are 4.5-point favorites here. You've already cleared your over-under. They're looking for a 10-win regular season, which would be great for Wake Forest, so we'll root them on as well.
Yeah, I like Wake today, or I like them on Saturday, I should say. Seemingly, apparently, BC has a big flu bug going through their roster, and so there might be a bunch of players out, so the number has held at 4.5. As far as I know, it hasn't moved up since last night, so that might be one worth watching. And then Army, I would take the points in that Army game. Liberty this year has not been good. They've lost like all their big games. This isn't quite the Liberty team from last year that only had one loss, so I would take those points with Army. And Wake Forest, shifting now to best bets. Wake is one of my two. I obviously am going to go Ohio State until proven otherwise. You and I both have struggled with best bets this year, especially lately. We've been on streaks. I think we've lost 3 or 4 straight each. So I'm going to go with Wake minus the 4.5, but my best bet by far is still Ohio State minus 8.5. I think they win this by double figures.
Yeah, mine's a Friday game. It's going to be Iowa plus 1 at Nebraska. I am a little bit worried. There was an obituary that came out in Lincoln the middle of this week that gained some attention where the guy said, please place an irresponsibly large bet on Nebraska in lieu of flowers and donations. So you got to worry when you got the spiritual realm coming into it a little bit, but I still like Iowa to beat Nebraska this weekend. And then upset picks, Kent. First of all, my best bet last week was Oregon plus three. They lost outright big. And then my upset was USC plus three, and they lost 62-33, allowed the most points that UCLA has ever scored on USC. That game is the best looking game in college football, in my opinion, the Reds versus the Blues. But USC looked absolutely garbage. There was 20,000 fans in the stands. It was an embarrassment to the program, and it shows that they needed the right coach, and they need him right now. But that being said, I'm now down $195. I'm making a big push. We were supposed to record on Tuesday, but we had some technical difficulties. I did have, and you'll back me up, Ole Miss plus 1.5. And I'm taking Kansas State plus three in a parlay, plus 340. So I've got the first leg already knocked out. Sorry you guys can't ride with me. But I'm looking at a plus 340 two-team underdog parlay, money line parlays, by the way, at plus 340.
And Kansas State's a live dog. It's against a Texas team that, you know, you look at this Texas team and you do wonder what they have left to play for in K-State. Can, you know, try to get their eighth win of the season. For me, I'm going to go North Carolina plus the 5.5 at NC State. And a lot of this just has to do with the fact that NC State might very well need this game. It's a Friday game, so it is later today. And they're not going to know what Wake Forest does tomorrow. So the way the ACC Atlantic works, Pitt's already punched their ticket in the Coastal. If Wake Forest wins, they're in. But if they lose, NC State is in if they win. And if both teams lose, because Clemson is already out of their conference playing against an SEC school in South Carolina, if both Wake and NC State lose, then Clemson goes and plays Pitt in a rematch. So NC State has a lot to play for.
That, by the way. I know they beat them once this year, but Clemson's really rounding into form right now.
Yeah, and NC State is just the type of program that you almost expect them to lose games when it really matters. So I'll go with Carolina here, even though I hate their defense. At plus 180, I feel like this is kind of every other game Carolina would win, so I'll take those odds and try to get back. I lost Iowa State last week against OU, so we'll see. But either way, I think that they're a live dog later today.
Okay, now let's get to every game in 60 seconds. We need a little bit of push here at the end of the season. We're 79% on the year. We try to aim for 80. Last week, we were 53-10, respectable. We're 591-160 on the season. There are 61 games this week. Start us off.
Ohio.
Chippewas.
K-State.
Boise.
Utah State.
Hawkeyes.
Blazers.
Razorbacks.
Air Force.
Undefeated top four Bearcats.
UCF.
Chanticleers.
Utes.
Cyclones.
Tar Heels.
Wazoo.
Uga.
Scarlet Knights.
If they win, my ACC Atlantic Division champion, Demon Deacons.
The Midshipmen.
Buckeyes.
Gold Flashes.
Rockets.
Seminoles.
Sikkim.
My Black Knights of the Hudson.
The U.
White and Holgersons.
La Tech.
Red Wolves.
Top 25 undefeated Roadrunners.
The Monarchs.
Georgia State.
App State.
New Mexico State.
Wyoming.
Southern Miss.
Fighting Illini.
Boilermakers.
Sparty.
Quack Attack.
Roll Tide.
Hilltoppers.
Rocky Top.
UVA.
Badgers.
Ragin' Cajuns.
Sparky.
Mustangs.
West Virginia.
Gig'em.
FAU.
Pokes.
Pitt.
Clemson.
Kentucky.
Go Irish.
Memphis.
BYU.
Reno.
Bruins.
Okay, until Jim Harbaugh proves he can beat Ohio State, we'll keep playing the Buckeye battle cry in late November. We'll have the best damn band in the land close us out.